10:40 at Money Radio, your road to success. Welcome back to the Business Day. I'm George Gamble, standing in for Dale Franks. This week, of course, Money Radio, among other things, has been taking a look at some of the conditions in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia's King Fahd's failing health has been keeping world oil and financial markets on edge, to say the least. Imran Anwar is the president of Imran Anwar Incorporated in New York. He's an expert on the Middle East and an international consultant for companies planning to do business in the region. He joins us now live on the Business Line. Imran, welcome back to Money Radio.
Yeah, good morning and a good afternoon.
Good to talk to you again. Let me ask you first of all, here we are talking about the possibility of some leadership shakeup in Saudi Arabia and a number of concerns and all of the unknowns that that might bring about. But before we talk about what those imply, let me ask you, as well he follows these things, of businesses, the U.S. businesses that might have an opportunity to do business in Saudi Arabia, other than oil-related businesses, what kinds of U.S. businesses do have the most opportunity in Saudi Arabia?
George, basically because of the political alliance that the Saudis have always enjoyed with the U.S., in general, everything from light consumer goods and services, everything from Pepsi-Cola, for example, to General Motors vehicles, find a ready market in the Saudi market.
So it's a very broad and diverse picture we're looking at. When you assess Saudi Arabia, and when I talk to analysts, Imran, they will say to me, well, this particular country is an emerging market, an emerging economy, or a developed economy, and so on and so forth. Are you looking at a picture with Saudi Arabia, maybe similar to Israel in some ways, that some aspects of it are still emerging economy aspects and some are very developed?
Absolutely, George. The reason for that is that the country has had huge revenue streams in the past, and government finance programs make the standard of living among the highest in the world. But that does not necessarily mean that there is a high level of entrepreneurial activity on the ground, which, for example, you will find in Israel happening right now. So in terms of that, the standards of living are high. But there are opportunities for a lot of development to take place on the business scene.
Many Mideast countries, as I again talk to analysts about them, they say these are high-risk, high-return areas. Do you rate Saudi Arabia as a high-risk area if you go in to do business?
Not as much as many other countries in the region, because it has been ruled with a firm hand for the last many years, many decades, I should say. There tends to be a certain stability one associates with Saudi Arabia. So high risk applies to the whole region, including Israel and Saudi Arabia, but not as much as many other countries in the region.
As a businessman and looking at that from that standpoint, are you concerned, are you nervous about the possibility of a leadership change? Does that keep you a little edgy?
I wouldn't say edgy, George. It's more like any kind of change obviously means some flux in the markets.
Yeah.
And that is why everybody wants to see how the change will take place. Eventually it will one day, and the fact, as you have mentioned yourself, the king is an aging man. So it's not a matter of if, but a matter of when the change will take place.
And it's not so, we've talked recently, and it's not a matter of much concern of tremendous instability, but there are unknowns.
Absolutely, absolutely.
What would your advice be then at this point to someone who comes to you and says, "Now I'm thinking about getting involved in some business venture in Saudi Arabia. I know that there are these events simmering there." What would your advice be? How do you instruct somebody then from this standpoint?
My advice regarding Saudi Arabia specifically would be continue as if it's business as usual, because the change is not the kind of change that took place in Israel, for example, which was much more unexpected and caused by a lot more dissension on the ground. The kind of opposition that the Saudi monarchy has on the ground is an inherent risk that goes with the territory, but the change in this case is not going to be a revolutionary, unexpected change. It's almost as if it's a change that is part of the plan.
Now, when we talk about plan, they have been attempting to do some things with their economy, and I know they've had privatization program, a movement toward privatization. They've had the attempted sale of state holdings and that sort of thing in certain industries, their petrochemical industry and so on and so forth. Have they been successful in making some of the changes in their economy that they had hoped to make, and what has been the impact for business, doing business in Saudi Arabia?
George, the problem is that, as we had spoken once before about the size of the royal family, it seems like any kind of business venture that you want to go into at a major level involves somebody who's related to the royal family.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I don't know how far the word privatization really applies if it's still the ruling class and the ruling family that's involved. But yes, there are opportunities that can be absolutely taken advantage of by U.S. businesses, especially businesses that can help small entrepreneurial businesses start up, and the service sector is another that could use a lot of help from American companies.
They have, of course, have had their occasional clashes with their neighbors, and the most publicized and significant one, obviously, was when they were involved with the Desert Storm situation, helping get Iraq out of Kuwait. But recently, Saudi Arabian forces have clashed again with Yemeni forces, and I'm wondering how much of a concern is that? Do they have border problems elsewhere that need to be watched?
Not in that sense. Yemen actually has had its own share of internal problems, and obviously because there's still a very much a tribal culture in place.
Yeah.
So there is always the old history involvement, but Saudi Arabia is no bigger a hazard than any other country in the region.
And so you do not worry about some country taking advantage of the possible moment of instability related to a leadership change to trigger a flare-up, a border clash flare-up?
No, unless there is somebody as adventurous as Saddam Hussein waiting in the wings to try to do something like that. I don't foresee anything like that.
What is your prediction then? Any leadership change in Saudi Arabia continues the status quo, and we see Saudi Arabia pretty much maintaining its leadership role in OPEC and in the Mideast?
Absolutely. Just by the size of their oil production and their political importance to the Islamic world, which happens to be most of that region, they will continue to have that same influence and that same power. Hopefully, whenever the changes occur, there will be a little more recognition of the needs of the common people, the masses, and hopefully some level of democratic involvement will come in. And with that, I hope we'll see a little more entrepreneurial, non-royal family-related business development.
Imran, thank you much. We're out of time again, and it always goes too fast, but thank you very much for joining us today.
It was my pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Imran Anwar. He's president of Imran Anwar Incorporated in New York. He's an expert in the Middle East, and he's an international consultant for companies planning to do business in the region.